From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Laura Howell, the executive director of the People's Shakespeare Project, a local nonprofit organization committed to help foster a love of Shakespeare through performance and performance-based instruction.
And I always tell my students, I said, you cannot go through a day without something, hearing something, reading something that refers to Shakespeare. I challenge them. I said, you might not realize this quote is Shakespeare, but you cannot go through one day without Shakespeare influencing you somehow. It's fascinating. You should try it.
Coming up, we're talking with Laura Howell about the People's Shakespeare Project and the influence of William Shakespeare throughout history. And it's Mickle time. We welcome Mike McMonagle back to the program with his live music picks for the weeks ahead. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. This Friday, May 17th, is Music Friday in Lancaster, and it's turning into a huge night around town with several live music options. Series 42, Music for Everyone and Moose kick off the Outdoor Music Friday concert series with Toy Soldiers and The Lawsuits. I caught both of these bands at this year's Tri-State Indie Music Awards back in February and can honestly say you do not want to miss this show. It's free and located right in the heart of downtown Lancaster at Binns Park. Showtime is 6:30. If intimate listening rooms are more your speed, Chestnut House Concerts welcome Lindsay Liu and the Flatbellies for the latest in this outstanding concert series featuring touring national bands. Lindsay is accompanied by her husband Joshua Rilko on mandolin, Mark Lavengood on dobro, Keith Billick on banjo, and Spencer Kane on bass. This Michigan-based band has distinct vocals, tight harmonies, instrumental expertise, and creative arrangements, which are all essential characteristics of their unique sound. Chestnut House Concerts are located right downtown in the 600 block of West Chestnut. Check out chestnuthouseconcerts.com for more about the concerts and to make your reservations for Lindsay Liu and the Flatbellies. On the other side of town, live from the cellar welcomes the Adam Taylor Trio and James McLaughlin for a night of top-notch homegrown indie folk. James is a recent transplant from Eastern Washington, so be sure to stop by and welcome him to the Lancaster music scene. You can find Live from the Cellar on Facebook or link up from the show post for today's episode for more details about this house concert and the series. Finally, if you're out on the western edge of the county and would rather stay close to home, catch our buddies in the secondhand Suits at McCleary's Pub in Marietta. The Suits bring a high-energy mix of jazz, blues, and folk rock, and that show starts at 9:30. All of this and more happening this Friday night, May 17th. It's Music Friday in Lancaster. On Saturday, May 18th, the mountain folk trio Mandalele returns to Lancaster for their official Lancaster CD release show, celebrating the release of their debut album, Riddled in Rhyme. Mandalele is based out of Virginia, but includes Lancaster County fiddler Francis Miller. Percussionist David Armstrong will also be joining the band for this show. And Lancaster singer-songwriter Bobby Carmichael will get things started at 7 p.m. at East Chestnut Street Mennonite. That's 432 East Chestnut Street in Lancaster. Here's Sunny Day from Mandalele on Around the Wood Stove.
It's a pretty day outside, the sun is shining bright. Every time I think of you, it makes me smile twice. Hey, hey, fiddle around, round a time or two. Hey, hey, sing a new song now that I met you. Sun is sinking in the sky as daylight turns to night. Climb up on the hill with me and darling, hold me tight. Hey, hey, fiddle around, round a time or two. Hey, hey, sing a new song now that I met you.
That's Mandalele with Sunny Day on Around the Wood Stove. Join them Saturday, May 18th for their CD release show at East Chestnut Street Mennonite at 7 p.m. Today we welcome Mike McMonagle back to the program with even more live music picks for this month. It's Mickle time on Around the Wood Stove. Mike, welcome back to the program. Always a pleasure to chat with you about the live music scene here in Lancaster.
Always a pleasure to be here.
So we're coming into summer. We're talking mid-May. What's happening?
All right. The first thing that really jumped out at me on the calendar coming up is just 2 days from now, Wednesday the 15th, the Chameleon. Marco Benevento will be in town. It's a name that you've probably seen here and there. He's one of those guys that's just everywhere. If he's playing at a festival, you can rest assured that he'll end up on stage with at least 7 different acts. So he's a kind of experimental jazz pianist, organist, great energy. Slackwater News is opening up for that show as well. And Dan Ramirez from Slackwater does some work on tour with Marco as well. So it should be a great show. A lot of energy, just some funk, jazzy kind of stuff. So
it's a great bill.
It is. And looking, you know, a little further down the road there, later that week, at the Dispensing Company, New Sweden will be in town. And this is a band that I don't know if I can speak for you, but personally, I learned about through the Tri-State Indie Awards.
Yeah,
absolutely. They performed at the most recent one back in February, and the energy is great. It's, you know, traditional folk instrumentation as far as the banjo and all that up there, but they really pack some energy into it and take it a step further. So
yeah, they're from Wilmington, Delaware, right?
Delaware, I know.
Well, if you're from Delaware... You just say Wilmington.
Yeah. Exactly. But I knew they were from Delaware. I think they won Delaware Band of the Year.
Yeah, that's right, at this year's Tri-State Indie Awards.
So that's one to definitely... And Dipco is always a great atmosphere to catch music in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking forward, this one takes us across the lake, or I'm sorry, the river, across the pond, over to York County at the Strand Theater. Josh Ritter is coming to town May 21st. So it's a Tuesday night. And he's someone that's always been on my radar, and I've been one of those guys that says, yeah, I like Josh Ritter, and never really, you know, did my due diligence. And very recently, I've just kind of immersed myself. Just this morning, I listened to his newest record probably twice, 2 or 3 times, and it's just, he's a fantastic songwriter, great storyteller, great folk kind of traditions as far as the storytelling aspect goes, but he's got a beautiful voice, and guitar work is, you know.
Yeah.
Perfect as well. So,
you know, Lancaster really needs a theater that size.
That would be nice.
That would be a really nice addition to this community.
A very, you know, comfortable place to sit down and really just you immerse yourself in the in the scene. You don't have to worry about who's standing in front of you or being bumped from side to side. Just a place to sit down, and you know, that aesthetic I think really adds something to the performance.
Even like how Ephrata has the main, you know, that's just a great theater, you know, setting. Very cool. Good shows over there at the Strand. That's neat that he's coming.
Yeah, that's part of the Cap Live series. So right. That's, you know, there's always some great acts coming through there. They have a number of great acts coming through the rest of the spring and into the summer. So if you're on the website, definitely see what Cap Live's doing. And then later that week on the weekend, it's Memorial Day weekend, we have the 25th and 26th, Saturday, Sunday, is the Flavor Fest up at the Mountain Hope Renaissance Fairgrounds.
Absolutely.
And this one's a little, I think we use the word self-serving for the both of us.
We can both be shameless about this one.
Absolutely. I'll be playing there on both days. I know Mark DeRose will be playing there as well.
Yeah, my band, Mark DeRose and the Dreadnought Brigade, will be there only on Saturday, on the 25th. So if you're thinking about coming either Saturday or Sunday, come Saturday.
Come Saturday, absolutely. And I like the way that they have that set up with a few different stages and staggered time. So if you make your rounds, you can catch a good bit of music. And, you know, that lineup has everyone from, you know, good friends, Adam Blessings playing as well, the Josh Albright Band, Indian Summer Jars, Pig Merchants. So some really good acts that if you're not familiar with local music, it's a really great crash course.
And a lot of Wood Stove House podcast guests on those bills. So check it out.
That's what's really got me excited for this month.
I will see you at Flavor Fest at the Renaissance Fair. Right on, man. Thanks. Along with being an accomplished local musician, Mike is responsible for booking live music events at TELUS 360, a Lancaster business that brings environmentally sustainable solutions to all aspects of living. Check out the show post for today's episode to link up to Mike McMonagle and TELUS 360. Today we welcome Executive Director Laura Howell from the People's Shakespeare Project, a local nonprofit organization founded in 2006 that is committed to help foster a love of Shakespeare through performance and performance-based instruction. Laura filled me in on all of the great productions and programs that she and the project are involved in, along with conversation about the evolving theater scene here in Lancaster over the past couple decades. It's Laura Howell from the People's Shakespeare Project on Around the Wood Stove, joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Laura Howell from the People's Shakespeare Project. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jason.
I don't know a whole lot about the People's Shakespeare Project, and So that's what we're going to learn about.
Okay.
Today. And by we, of course, I mean me.
Okay.
So why don't you start with just an overview of the organization?
Sure. Well, we officially incorporated in 2006, and we had our first summer 2007. And I did it because I was in a fortunate position where I could ask myself, what is it I would like to do if I could do anything creative in the theater? Because that's what I've always done is theater. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I had fallen in love with Shakespeare in around the year 2000 and couldn't stand him up until then. That's another story. But I decided I want to create good Shakespeare that's accessible to people, that's not scary, uh-huh. that people can really understand, appreciate, and have fun with. And I also feel that we're losing language in this country.
Okay.
With, you know, quick sound bites and tweets and all of that. And Shakespeare, you can just revel in the language. And there's power in those words. And when I work with actors, when I work with students, they understand that. And there's power when you can give it to an audience.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting work. I love it.
What's the mission?
Well, the mission is to bring Shakespeare to the public through performance and performance-based instruction. We also have a middle school camp that goes along with the People's Shakespeare Project in the summer. And I always modernize the Shakespeare, not meaning changing the language. Of course, I don't do that.
Right.
But bring it up to our time. You know, modernize the costumes. I like to have live music. And I think it's a really good door for people to walk through and they say, oh, these costumes, this is not Elizabethan garb. This makes it more accessible right away.
Yeah, absolutely.
I understand these people. I see where they're coming from. And the music, we had a heavy metal band playing for Midsummer Night's Dream, which was so cool. We had a reggae band playing for Twelfth Night. Percussion for Julius Caesar. And this year I can talk about what we're doing later on.
But, great. So you mentioned public performances, but also this instruction. Are those two separate things?
They are, okay. Yeah. But that's our summer. Our summer is the main stage, whatever that play is, that summer. And then we also have what we call Camp Will, which is for middle school students. It's a three-week acting program. And I take whatever I'm doing for the main stage show and I cut it to an hour for the middle school students. And we have been doing that since, well, we didn't do it the first year. It was created after that. So this will be our sixth summer of Camp Will.
Okay.
And I keep a small 14 kids, and it's rising fifth to ninth grade students. And these kids walk away loving Shakespeare. Man, that's not a bad thing.
No, that's fantastic.
Yeah, love it.
How does a child become involved?
Well, you can go on the website.
Okay.
And there's go to the events page on the website, and you can download the registration form. You can also get information about the camp there on the People's Shakespeare Project.
We'll have links in the show post for all the places to go.
Yeah.
But you said you keep it small, so is there an application process?
No, it's just a registration and first come, first served. And we've got plenty of room right now, but we have filled the camp for the past few summers.
Okay.
So, of course, I'm hoping that we
do
again. And there are always two teachers, and there's a volunteer, a high school student who volunteers, who's been through the program himself.
What are the what are the dates? So if I had a student that was interested, when would they be involved?
Right. We start on June 11th, I think it is. That's a Tuesday. And it runs to June 28th. And then, of course, we do the final performance on the 28th.
Okay.
At the end of camp and family and friends. And we always fill, we do it at the Rafters Theater in Millersville, and we always fill all the seats to capacity. And it's...
That's great.
It's very exciting. And the kids walk away, hopefully, thrilled with what they've accomplished. I think they are.
Let's just talk about the main... You mentioned the main stage.
Yeah.
So that's happening in tandem?
Yeah, it's a lot. And this year it's going to be really in tandem because the main stage, we've always done the shows the last two weekends in July. And this year it's going to be the last two weekends in June.
So that's right. That's the same.
It sure is.
Same time.
Yeah, it sure is. But I have a lot of help with the camp and I have help with the main stage as well.
And are these adult actors then that are involved?
Yeah, there is a lot of college students. It started out as a college company at E-Town.
Okay.
That was our first show was at E-Town. Our second summer was at F&M. And then we've moved and we've been at Millersville ever since, which has been really fortunate for us and hopefully for Millersville as well, I think.
I was curious about how that worked, if it's just an audition.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, we had a couple of weeks of auditions.
For the main stage.
For the main stage. And now we're breaking into community actors, too.
Okay.
I need all ages, and I need all types. And this summer especially, we're doing Romeo and Juliet, so I need parents.
Yeah.
I need a friar. I need young people. So, yeah. So it's opened up the casting for this show, and I'm always just looking for good actors.
What other projects do you do throughout the year?
Well, I'm a roster artist with the state, with Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, and every once in a while I do some residencies at various schools. I was working in Harrisburg for a couple of years, and working on something now, hopefully that will pan out. And I do workshops.
Okay.
I work with the IU, working with the Gifted and Talented program with the IU. I've done a lot of work there. It's just here and there, you know, patching things together.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. My guest today is Laura Howell from the People's Shakespeare Project based here in Lancaster. In addition to the summer main stage production in Camp Will, the Shakespeare-based summer camp for middle schoolers, the project hosts an annual birthday celebration each April as a friend and fundraiser for the organization.
We celebrate Shakespeare's birthday. He was born April 23rd, and we get as close to that as we can. And it's a friend and fundraiser.
Okay.
So a lot of interesting people show up and mix and mingle, and then I have a performance that do some interesting playing with Shakespeare.
Is it always at the Keystone Art and Culture Center?
It has been,
okay.
Yeah.
And is it, it's a fundraiser for your organization?
For the People's Shakespeare
not
Project.
Not Keystone?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't very clear on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're really, really helpful and supportive.
Yeah.
But we do pay minimal
pay
rent, but they're really, they've been great.
When you're out in the schools and working at the IU and these different places, how is it with introducing Shakespeare to students? And do they already know Shakespeare? Are you the first glimpse of that for them, for the most part?
Well, I work with middle school students and I work with high school students. Hopefully the high school students know Shakespeare, or at least know something about Shakespeare, have read a play. The middle school students, some of them it's a real introduction.
Okay.
But I would venture to guess everybody knows of Shakespeare.
Very famous guy.
Yeah, and I always tell my students, I said, you cannot go through a day without something, hearing something, reading something that refers to Shakespeare. I challenge them. I said, you might not realize this quote is Shakespeare, but you cannot go through one day without Shakespeare influencing you somehow. It's fascinating. You should try it.
That's remarkable, really, to think about.
It's fascinating, yeah.
It's fascinating to think that a playwright, that this guy could have such an influence.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And I like to, when I found out that he was famous in his time, he was cherished in his time as well. So I was very happy to know that at least he knew that he was valued. Of course, who could ever have imagined 400, 500 years later? Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean,
fascinating. Well, he writes about the human condition better than anybody else ever has, at least in the English language. That's what I speak. And so he was, some people say he was our first psychologist. He understood the workings of the human mind before it was ever a field to study.
I mean, if you think about the fact that there had to be other people who were doing similar things, and then there's this guy.
There are some great playwrights of that time, and probably others that we'll never know about, too, that were lost.
They were just,
in time.
Came and went, and that was it. Maybe even were famous after they died, but then it just faded away.
Right.
The millions of artists that have always existed, right?
Well, I guess one of his rivals who did not live long, who died at 27, was Christopher Marlowe. And a lot of people know Christopher Marlowe, his work, but because he died so young, he didn't put out as much material as Shakespeare. And who knows what he would have accomplished, because there's a lot of brilliant work from him, too.
Was there a time where he wasn't and then was rediscovered, or was his fame and his work used throughout, like,
Shakespeare?
Shakespeare, consistently.
There have been periods of time, I think, what, 17, 1800s, where Shakespeare was rewritten to make Shakespeare more palatable. Maybe not everyone died in King Lear. Maybe the endings were changed.
Sounds like Hollywood.
It was a lot of writers getting together and saying, oh, this isn't so good. We can do better than this. There's a speech of Macbeth that goes on and on and on. I forget who wrote it now. But it's not in the play. It's fascinating when people... So Shakespeare was kind of lost a little bit and then rediscovered.
When was that?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm just going to guess early 1900s.
Okay.
Except in the 1800s, there's stories about Shakespearean actors touring the Wild West in this country. And people loved Shakespeare. They would bring them to these small, dusty, dirty towns, perform Macbeth, perform Hamlet. And I read something, I think it was in the Smithsonian Magazine years ago, where they said people crossing the plains in their covered wagons, if they had two books, they had the Bible and they had Shakespeare.
Wow.
It was a different time. People loved the language.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's interesting is the King James Version of the Bible was written the same time as during Shakespeare's lifetime. And I kind of think he might have had a hand in that. The language is so similar.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is. Yeah.
What do you think the future of, you know, Shakespeare is with the changing? I mean, these are some tumultuously changing times.
Absolutely. But what's amazing is that there are more and more Shakespeare companies sprouting up around the country. Every state in this country has a Shakespeare festival, at least one. Shakespeare is done so much now. When I was in college, which was a long time ago during the Revolution, Shakespeare was not done.
Yeah.
Because we were doing new work, cutting edge work, and Shakespeare was old news. It's come back in full force. People love it.
Huh.
If you give yourself the opportunity to discover him. And as I said, I didn't love Shakespeare because I never worked on a Shakespeare play in college and after college and acting school. It just wasn't done when I was in training. And it was badly taught to me when I was in high school in an inner city school in Texas. And I just didn't like Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And I discovered Shakespeare not that long ago, actually.
At the Woodstove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Woodstove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Woodstove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. And now back to our conversation with Laura Howe from the People's Shakespeare Project. We're talking about the Lancaster theater scene and Laura's personal background.
I was born and raised in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
First person I've ever met.
Yep.
From there.
I'm not surprised. And I went to school in Iowa, Grinnell College in Iowa. Lived in New York City. I was married and lived in Dallas. And then we moved to Providence, Rhode Island. And then from there to Fort Lauderdale. And then we ended up in Lancaster.
Little zigzag there.
Yeah. It was interesting. Yeah.
How long ago did you move to Lancaster then?
We moved in 1990.
Okay.
Here. So I've seen a lot of changes in Lancaster.
Did you become immediately involved in the theater community?
Immediately. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm an equity actor. And so I remember calling the Fulton Opera House when I was in Fort Lauderdale and trying to find out about the theater scene in Lancaster and if there was any work for me at all. And the person that answered the phone was Barry Kornhauser,
who has
become one of my closest friends. And he said, "Don't come. There's nothing here." I did come, and I worked at the Fulton Opera House and Commotion Theater and did a little work with TSS, Theater of the Seven Sister, and yeah, so...
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how the theater scene has evolved in Lancaster from the time you arrived to where it is today.
Well, when I arrived, it was fascinating because that was the first year of Theater of the Seven Sister and the first year of Commotion Theater. And, of course, the Actors Company had been here for years with Gene Clemson. And then there was the Fulton, and they were separate entities when I came. It was a great time for theater in this community. And over time, it's so hard to keep theaters alive. And Commotion had to fold. And the Actors Company was sort of absorbed into the Fulton Opera House. And TSS... Still was producing and doing a lot of work. But I feel now there is less theater, less grassroots theater.
Mm-hmm.
Although now we have the Ware Center, now we have the Winter Center, and they're doing such exciting work, and they're bringing amazing work to Lancaster, and I love it. But in terms of grassroots theater,
mm-hmm.
It's less than there had been. Less, yeah.
Do you see that changing?
I'm always hoping. I mean, we started in 2007, and we're still going pretty strong, you know, build on each year. So.
Do you think theater today in this area is more about found space than a building? Because I'm thinking Creative Works, mm-hmm. Theater for Transformation, what you're mm-hmm. doing. There are groups, Prima.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are these groups that are spinning up, but we're not seeing people opening doors, cutting the ribbon.
I think that's a good thing, probably. I think having your own space can just sap an organization. You got to pay electric, you got to build plumbing, water. It's great to use found space. And I also think it's exciting. I mean, what we do is we perform outside one weekend and we perform inside one weekend. And we're on Millersville campus and they support us. And so we're very fortunate for that. We have an outdoor stage and then we have the indoor stage and the rafters. So that's like space given to us.
Yeah.
For us to use. But before that, we were finding space too. We were finding outside Leffler Chapel at E-Town College where we first started on a rake stage. And then at F&M, I loved the space we used. It was on the steps of the library. And it was
cool.
Beautiful. It was hard with no backstage. It was hard, but it was just a beautiful space. And it was found space.
So what specifically do you have coming up this summer that we can look for?
Okay. This summer we are doing The Tragedy of Romeo and Juliet. And for some reason I've stayed away from this play for a long time because I think it can be a cliche if you're not careful. It's been so done.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful it's not going to be that. We have a really, really good cast. One of my actors who worked with the company for years is coming back from North Carolina to play Romeo. I'm
cool.
Thrilled with that. I have some exciting new people. You know, we're going to have some great fights on stage. I have a great fight choreographer, and I just found out that I have a musician on board who's going to compose the score for the show.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I am thrilled, and she's supposed to be fabulous.
So tell me when the show is so we can promote
this it. The show is the last two weekends in June, so it's June 21st through the 23rd of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think that is. And it's outside by the Swan Pond, which is just a gorgeous space. It's a hill, so it's like a natural amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
People don't have to be afraid. They won't be able to hear because the stage is mic'd beautifully and lit so beautifully by all of Millersville. Their tech ops people take care of us. And then the 28th and 29th inside the Rafters Theater, which only seats 100 people. We always have open captioning. One of the shows, probably the Saturday night show, will be open captioned. And that will be paid performances, but it's minimal. It's $10 a ticket. Yeah.
That sounds very exciting. So,
yeah, it is. I'm really excited about the music. I love bringing music into the show. And I'm also, every year we do a curtain call dance because it's authentic practice, they call it. It's what Shakespeare's company did. They danced at the end of every show. And sometimes the audience would just come for the music and the dancing, which is pretty much the same today with musical theater. So it'll be interesting to create a dance with all these dead bodies on the stage. A challenge. They'll just get up and dance.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with me and telling me about this project.
Thanks, Jason. It was fun.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
You can keep up with the People's Shakespeare Project at peoplesshakespeareproject.org or link up from the show post on today's episode at woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.